And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. Hi, I'm Dr. Morgan. It's good to be with you this beautiful Saturday morning. Yeah, if you go outside right now, there'll be a thick fog cloud embankment, but that's all going to burn off because I could see the moon shining just a little bit earlier this morning. All right, the phone number here at the station is 903-586-5257 if you want to call and ask me a question. I want to read this to you right here. I think it's interesting. Okay. Here we go. The lady's name is Monica Gagliano. She is a research associate professor in evolutionary ecology at the University of Western Australia. And she has demonstrated that plants can hear. Very interesting. Gagliano found that plants will send their roots toward the sound of running water, even if the plants only hear a recording of running water. See, plants are smart. God designed them that way. They're going to send their roots toward the sound of running water. I have failed before at growing some blueberry bushes because I did not give them enough running water. If you've ever seen someone that's planted blueberry bushes and they've really taken off, it is really a thing of beauty. I have gone out to my top secret locations where the dewberries are. And so currently, I think the dewberries are the plants that grow low to the ground. You know, those little sharp vines that produce beautiful, delicious blueberry or blackberries. And then there's blackberries growing in the same location. And these are coming off these long shoots. Maybe they're actually raspberries. I really don't know. Okay, if you want to join me on the radio, if you have a question, please call now. The phone line is officially open. Otherwise, I'm going to try to share as much good information as I can and do as much good as I can this Saturday morning. And I'm going to read this to you. This comes from, I got it from Life Extension Magazine. Life Extension Magazine, they publish many, many good accounts of research to give you some confidence that what you're doing is good. And if you're listening to this program today, I would like to think it's because you're trying to take care of yourself. You are. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Yes, sir.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. Yes, sir.
How can I help you?
I wanted to talk about Meniere's disease.
Okay.
And to see if what I can do about that. I've been taking water pills and, of course, reduce the salt and all of the things they say to stop. But
has it done anything yet?
It's helped some.
Do you have your radio turned down?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good.
Yes, sir. But it still bothers me. I can still get dizzy and have the ringing in the ears, and whenever I lay down at night, every single night. This has been going on for about 2.5 years now. It all started one night. I was at my sister-in-law's. I woke up during the night. So dizzy.
And
ever since then, I mean, my husband had to come to Fort Worth to come get me because I couldn't drive.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, so it was really devastating. But ever since then, I've had this, and some of the attacks have really been really, really bad. It's kind of, I haven't had, you know, severe attacks in probably maybe 2 months. Which is fantastic, because I had several of them for 1 week in a row, like 3 of them in 1 week, which was really bad. But,
horrible.
But at night, whenever I lay down, when I first lay down, I get dizzy.
Well, what does that tell you when you lay down, you get dizzy?
I don't know.
Do you have any continual sinus problems?
Yes, ever since that time.
So when you lay down,
2.5 years ago,
that changes the fluid dynamics in your inner ear, and it's causing it's causing some irritation. There is a tube called the Eustachian tube. Have you ever heard of that before?
Yes, sir.
And the purpose of the Eustachian tube, or one of them, is to try to equalize pressure from the ear, and it drains,
yes,
I think, right there by the second molar, you know, in the back of the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been my experience. If somebody has horrible dizziness, that's the first thing I look for. I look for, is the Eustachian tube able to drain properly? If it does not, you want to open that up, and there's many techniques for doing that. But if you have some type of ongoing sinus issue, I tell you what, we really have to look for some type of a hidden allergy. And I could be wrong about that, but have you ever, do you have any gut instinct right now that you have some type of an allergy at all?
Not that I know of.
Is there any possibility that you like to drink Diet Cokes or diet soft drinks?
No, okay. I gave that up like 10 years ago.
Oh, excellent. So there's no aspartame whatsoever?
No.
Okay. Do you have all your teeth in good working order? Is there any possibility any of your teeth might be harboring some type of a low-grade infection?
No.
Okay. Teeth are fine. No pain, no discomfort, no nothing.
Let me ask you this. Behind my right ear, I have noticed the, I guess it's a gland that's back there, whatever mm-hmm. it is. I have noticed that since that time, the 2.5 years ago, that has swollen. And sometimes it can be really swollen, and then sometimes it's not. It'll go down.
Well, do you think that's a lymph node?
Yes. Yeah, that's what it is, lymph node. Yeah.
Well, that's what lymph nodes are. They are devices or pieces of real estate that try to absorb toxins and remove the pressure from the ear.
Okay.
And so that's just a clue. One of the things that I think that I've encountered over and over again is the presence of what I would call low-grade infections. They're not really enough to give you a temperature of 117,000 degrees. I'm just joking mm-hmm. about that. But they're enough to create chronic irritation. And so what happens is your body produces extra fluid in a means to try to trap and bind the infection. And so when you have Meniere's disease, I'm just worried, and I know I'm going to be crude the way I say this, so please forgive me, but you know what it's like to breathe very clearly out of both nostrils. I mean, you can breathe well enough, but you also know what it's like to have a bunch of snot and gunk in your nose where you can't breathe, right?
Right.
And that's misery when that's the case, but that can all build up in the inner ear. And so all I can do is give you some ideas, all right?
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying that you should do this. I just want you to consider and think about it. If it were me, the lymphatic system, and by the way, when you have a swollen lymph node, and you notice behind your right ear that that's kind of flaring up from time to time, and there's sometimes it's larger, and sometimes your body's able to resolve it and clean it out, and it becomes smaller or back to its normal size. Well, that, to me, I find that very intriguing. But your lymphatic system, this is like the dishwashing detergent of the body. It cleans and washes and make sure that any toxic debris is carried off and gotten away. Just remove it from where it belongs. Get rid of it. And so if your lymphatic system is flaring up, there's some issue where the body's trying to clean some tissues desperately, and I would like to help that. So one of the oldest remedies of all time is just rubbing and applying castor oil to the ear every night when you go to bed.
Okay.
And because what castor oil does very well, it increases lymphatic circulation. I had a woman that came to my office very, very recently, and she said, I'm miserable. My eyes are gritty all the time. I can't breathe. I've got sinus issues. But she said, my eyes are driving me crazy. She said, they're red. They're inflamed. And so what we tried was just one drop of castor oil. And within a week, she says, they're no longer gritty. I'm going, well, that's good. And she'd been complaining of just horribly dry eyes. And the point is, anytime that you increase circulation to an area where you're having a problem, that's always a good sign. Cutting off circulation, that is not a good sign. If you cut off circulation to a toe, what do you have? You get gangrene. It's not good. All the tissue dies. So wherever you rub castor oil, you're going to be increasing lymphatic circulation, so you're going to be increasing the ability of your body to kind of wash and clean and just therapeutically heal an area that's just not healing very well. And so that's easy. It's just plain Jane castor oil. You can pick it up at, you know, just about any pharmacy or even Walmart or go to all the health food stores, get a bottle of castor oil and start applying it. Now, out of curiosity, always think about applying solvents when there's Meniere's disease. And solvents are anything that tend to wash the area. So, like I said earlier, your lymphatic fluid is like the dishwashing liquid or detergent of the body. So wherever you apply castor oil, you are going to increase lymphatic flow and circulation. That's a very, very good thing. The next thing that I would think of, and I'm not telling you this is perfect, but it's just what I would think of doing, is I would probably use what's called ear oil. Have you ever heard of that before?
No.
It's like $6.
Okay.
So where do you live? Which town?
I live in, I actually live in a little community, Butler, but down near Fairfield, here in Texas.
You mean you can pick up this radio station all the way in Fairfield?
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So how big a town is Butler? Five people?
No, we have maybe around 500 in the community.
Oh, wow, that's pretty big. And so if you go to where do you go to shop for groceries? Do you go into Mahaya?
Into Palestine.
Palestine. Oh, the mm-hmm. large metropolis of Palestine. I got it.
Yes, sir.
And so if there's a health food store, you might just ask, okay, where are your children's remedies? Or just ask them for ear oil. And ear oil is usually a base of olive oil. It's got mullein, hypericum, it's got garlic. Hypericum is just a fancy word for St. John's wort, and that's been historically used when you have any inflamed or irritated nerves. And with Meniere's, I always think the nerve dynamics have changed slightly. But ear oil, that stuff is typically used for kids that are coming down with like an ear infection. So if you have, do you have any grandchildren?
Yes, sir.
Okay, but if one of them came over the house and you could see the left ear is really, really red and the kid's tugging and pulling at it and it's cranky, and, you know, the child is just not right, you might think, oh, maybe they're coming down with an ear infection. The sooner you strike, the better. But with ear oil, if you would put these drops in your ears, I think it helps greatly dissolve and remove some of the backed-up congestion and debris along that inner ear. And so if you did that and followed it up with an ear candle, to me it would be very interesting if you used a beeswax ear candle after you applied the ear oil.
Okay.
Just to see what you pull out of your ear. I can only think right now that there's about 50 ear doctors listening to this program, and they're all cringing, and they're saying, no, ear candling is horrible. Well, I disagree with that, because I get to see what happens when people send me pictures from a text message.
Of,
oh, yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You've always heard the phrase that, you know, results or a picture's worth a thousand words, and action speaks louder than words, and,
right.
You know, results speak for themselves. So if somebody uses a beeswax ear candle and they candle their ear, and all of a sudden they go, would you look at all this stuff that's come out? Well, what if you did an ear candle and you noticed that your symptoms were 50% less? I'm not trying to, like, say it's going to be 100% cured, but if they were less, you'd say, I wonder if there was some mechanism that was going on that really affected me in a positive way. But I would look at that also. And okay. So with this lymph node, I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I've seen somebody with Meniere's disease, and I traced it back to a chronic low-grade infection in the ear. And so we're trying to help resolve that. And of course, you know as well as I do, garlic is one of the greatest antibiotics of all time.
Right.
And all it can do is just help gently clean, just like an article that I started to read on the radio this morning, but I did not. It was talking about how you can clean calcification and plaque from the arteries of your heart just by taking garlic every day. Well, I know nobody else is going to talk about that besides me. Well, maybe other people will, but usually from the medical profession, they don't talk about garlic. No. They're talking about cholesterol-lowering drugs that you need to take the rest of your life and you can never get off of. They have
right.
horrible side effects. And so I would look at a beeswax ear candle. And if it were me, I'd probably do both ears and see what the results are. Now, there's a technique that I use to open up the eustachian tube where I kind of grab the ear. And usually, I never tell a person what I'm doing, but I grab the ear and I pull about as hard as humanly possible. And I always make sure if a person's carrying a concealed weapon on them first before I do this, or if a lady has an extra long dagger, you know, in her hip pocket, I need to check that, because usually once I do that, they come up off the table and they usually come for my neck, and I usually run for it. I'm just joking, but but what happens, I did that yesterday, but you can feel all that pressure, and usually what happens the moment that I do that, a person will come up off the table and they'll start coughing and hacking because all this big chunk of gunk and snot and debris starts draining from the ear and it goes to the back of the throat. I mean, that happened yesterday. And I think I had one person last week. The person last week, can I say she's close to 70? If I missed her by a few years, please forgive me. But they just come off the table coughing because of all that gunk. And I tell them, do not swallow that. Spit it out. Which,
yeah.
It's handy if you have a box of Kleenex so you can spit into that. Because you are a girl, aren't you?
Yes.
Men would just aim for the trash can generally and just, you know, you know, go that direction. But if that eustachian tube is clogged, we got to open that up if you want to have proper pressure equalization. But the dynamics of the ear are just going to be horrible if it's clogged up, and you're going to have horrible dizziness that doesn't go away. And so,
it's devastating.
Now let me give you one more technique that I like. And this, all these things that I'm telling you are relatively cheap. Would you agree with that?
Yes, sir.
I mean, what does a beeswax candle cost? A dollar, maybe. I mean, if you order them from the internet, they'll cost a dollar. If you go to the health food store, sometimes it can cost a little bit more than a dollar, but it's valuable. What would you rather do, spend $400 for a ear consultation or try a $1 ear candle first to see if it helps?
No, because I've gone to the, you know, to the ear, nose, and throat doctor, and you know, they kind of point to, well, try the, whatever the pills are that...
like a diuretic?
Meclizine.
Oh, yeah.
And they do nothing for it.
You've tried, so, obviously, haven't you?
Right. I've
more
tried,
than once.
Yeah. I've tried different things that, you know, when you look up on the internet, trying different things to try to get rid of this and or help it do something to relieve stuff. That's where I got the idea of taking the water pills. And, of course, caffeine
free. Was that your idea?
No, I got it off the internet.
No, but you came up with your own research to determine that. Okay.
Yes. And so started taking those daily and noticed some help. And, of course, you know, took out the salt, took out, I mean, just everything it said had to reduce. The only thing I won't give up is what it said was that to reduce the noise around you and stuff like that, because I sing on a praise and worship team. And so I told God, I said, I'll give up everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't give that up unless that's mm-hmm. what you want me to do.
Now, what did the article say to give up?
It was, of course, alcohol, and it said caffeine.
Did you give up your whiskey yet?
Huh?
Did you give up your whiskey?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I did never like that anyway, so.
Okay. Well, but did you give it up? No, good. Well, now, what did you say about the praise and worship team? What about, did they ask you to give up something like that?
No. Okay. The article said that reduce the noise.
Loud noises, okay, I never got
like that.
No, I understand, yeah.
Right, so I'm on a praise and worship team, and it gets loud up on that stage.
I can only
imagine.
And,
you know, but it's, and that's something, too, that I've noticed that, there's times when it is hard to hear sometimes out of that ear. And I'm not going to say real hard or anything. It's just, it's a muffled sound, kind of.
The reason you would take a diuretic is because it's trying to reduce some of the fluid back pressure on the inner ear. That makes sense. The reason why you'd want to give up salt or modern refined salt is because those are mucus forming. So when you look at mucus forming substances, that's going to be like a dairy, cream, sugar, salt. But I'm not saying those are the root cause of the problem. One of the things that I think of, this morning I read an article about the romaine lettuce and the E. coli. Have you heard about that at all?
No.
Well, let me recommend that you don't go out and get a salad at a restaurant today that's made of romaine lettuce, unless you want to get food poisoning. I'm not saying that you will, but I mean, they were talking about people have died from this outbreak of romaine lettuce, and it's been contaminated with a germ called E. coli. Well, if you wash the lettuce in water with a little bit of white distilled vinegar, I can guarantee you, white distilled vinegar, baby, that stuff kills just about every germ known to man. But white distilled vinegar, you could spray that anywhere in the bathroom if you wanted to clean, you know, the sink or the counter or the knobs. Mm-hmm. If you sprayed water with white distilled vinegar on a doorknob, you would effectively kill all the germs on it. I think it's just most people don't like the smell of vinegar, but it's very, very effective. It's a disinfectant. And as a matter of fact, I'm thinking about the studies where they've tried all these commercially made disinfectants. None of them come close to killing the amount of germs that white distilled vinegar would. And so sometimes I'll have a person take a little dropper bottle, and if you don't have one, I think they're like $2 at the store.
Mm-hmm.
But you could fill it with, let me start over. You could make it half alcohol, like rubbing alcohol, and half white distilled vinegar. I think I accidentally said apple cider just because I'm used to saying that. That's not what I meant. I meant white distilled vinegar. So even if you went to the store in Palestine and you bought a gallon of white vinegar, what is that going to cost you? Maybe $2.75?
Not going to be much.
And you know what the real cost is? It's probably the shipping and the packaging, because vinegar is very cheap. But if you made that solution of half rubbing alcohol or just half alcohol and half vinegar, that's probably the cheapest remedy you're ever going to make for yourself. But if you put about 5 drops in the ear, both ears, Let's see if we can't dissolve some of this debris and gunk that's changing all the fluid and the circulatory and the hearing dynamics. It's a solvent. Okay. And we're just trying to wash it clean. I mean, I don't think this concept should be that bizarre, but, you know, as we age, we can accumulate debris, right?
Yes,
we can accumulate. We're living in a fallen world. We're coming in contact with toxins. And so these can't, so it's good for people to detox. I mean, I had a woman tell me day before yesterday, she said, my mother made all five kids, all five of us line up, or maybe it was 10. I can't remember the number of siblings she had. She said, we had to take a spoonful of castor oil to clean us out every spring and every fall. And so she was saying, but we were never sick as kids. But she would clean us out, and she said, oh, boy, does castor oil clean you out? Yeah. Well, there's something to be said about not being constipated and being clean. And this mother, when she gave all these kids castor oil, she was trying to completely clean out probably parasites and bad germs. I don't have any problem with that. And so, but every case of Meniere's, I almost always find there's either a low-grade infection or a food allergy, or there's just a structural mechanical obstruction of the eustachian tube. And if you can't drain the fluid, then there's just going to be a whole bunch of gunky snot that builds up. And so when I released the eustachian tube on that woman yesterday, oh my goodness. Well, she probably forgot about the pain I inflicted on her. Wait, did I say I inflicted pain? I'm going to retract that in case there's a lawsuit or something. But she just immediately had to come up because she started coughing because all that horrible drainage, it just flooded the back of her throat instantly.
Wow.
And that's what happened to a lady the week before. I mean, they almost always come up off the table coughing and hacking because all that gunk drains for the first time. And the proof is, you know, we just purged the ear and the eustachian tube. But if you'll try these things, let me know. Now, both of these women, they required what I would call very precise chiropractic adjustments. One of them, it was where the skull joins that first vertebra. Sometimes it's called Atlas or C1. But that occiput was just completely jammed shut, and I had to release that. And the other one, it was the second cervical vertebra that was completely jammed. And in old osteopathic medicine, they call that the sinus drainage point. It's very easy to check those things. So just consider those things. Consider them. I want you being free and released from this thorn in your flesh.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I've enjoyed your
phone
call.
I'm going to try these.
Sure.
Thank you, Dr.
You're welcome.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye.
Tell all your friends in Butler, Texas. I don't think I've ever been through Butler before. If you want to join me on the radio, the phone line's open, 903-586-5257. Oh, I'm so glad you called. Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Lynn.
Hello, Lynn.
Let me get my husband to turn the radio down. Last week you were talking about the baking soda.
Yes,
for,
ma'am.
Cures cancer. How much do you take and how for how long?
Well, I never said it cured cancer, but the man that called said it cured cancer. Just to, I can't really make a claim like that over the radio. That might be slightly illegal. But in this study, they were showing that when people consumed only a half of a teaspoon a day in water, and if you haven't ever done it before, it's just super easy. If you measure a half teaspoon or like me, I never measure anything. I just kind of eyeball it. You're not that way, are you?
No, I pretty well measure.
Oh, well, that's because I fly by the seat of my pants and you're more precise than I am. But if you stir it, it only takes maybe 10 seconds and you'll see that the baking soda, it becomes completely dissolved in the water. And I would, if it were me, I would just use maybe a couple of 3 ounces of water with a half of a teaspoon of baking soda, stir it in, and drink that each morning. Or if you don't drink it at morning, but I think if you do it on an empty stomach, you'll be very pleased with yourself. But that was the amount that I read about on the radio.
Okay. Well, I heard that, and my husband was just diagnosed with cancer.
Do you know
the colon.
Of the colon? Okay.
Uh-huh. So we've been doing the baking soda ever since. I heard
well,
it last week.
Do you know what I think I read maybe the week before that? So this would have been, let me see, 3 Saturdays ago. I read a lot of the studies of curing colon cancer by the use of SEACT. Have you ever heard of that before?
Yes, you mentioned that.
Okay,
and
yeah.
I can't find the SEAC-T.
Well,
I found the ET, but that's all I have found.
Well, here's the ingredients you're looking for. You're looking for what's called burdock root. Have you ever heard of burdock?
I've heard of burdock, but I don't know.
Well, let me tell you the ingredients that SEAC is composed of, and that'll kind of move you in the right direction. The first herbal remedy is burdock. And okay. The next they have sheep sorrel. Just like when you think of me, you think of a sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. But it's called sheep sorrel. Then they have an herb called slippery elm. I guess it comes from the elm tree. And then you have what's called turkey rhubarb.
Never heard of that.
Well, that one, if you take a lot of it, it will definitely clean you out, sister, I promise you.
Uh-huh.
But it's called turkey rhubarb, and those are the four ingredients, but the SEAC-T. And so there's lots of manufacturers of supplements. Sometimes I've seen them called burdock complex, but those are a blend of herbs that can be very, very beneficial. The other thing that I really think of with colon cancer is I think of really... And this is only my analogy, but you know what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 21? Do not be overcome by evil, but rather overcome evil with good.
Yes.
And so we want to overcome the bad inflammation and the bad cells with good beneficial microbes or probiotics.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be hard-pressed not to recommend to your lovely husband that he should really be flooding his body daily with probiotics. That's one of the reasons why he needs to eat raw sauerkraut or Bubby sauerkraut, because it's full of beneficial nutrients, or kimchi.
Oh, okay.
The probiotics. But
okay. Well, he eats yogurt with the probiotics in it.
Okay. Well, he's already doing some things to help himself, isn't he?
Yeah, and it's been since I've been listening to you since this has really helped us.
Well, good. So you hear what I say on the radio, and you relay that information to him, right?
Yes.
But he's listening right now, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Well, I want him to know that I'm rooting for him, and I really, really want God to look upon him with favor. And I want God to bless him. And I want him to act in his life in such a way that he can... all this can be used for good. I'm not telling you I know what good's going to come from it, but God can use any... situation in our life to train us and to teach us, and it can be a blessing. So my heart and my prayers are with your husband, and I pray that he will be blessed and there will be healing. But God is in control. He can do anything that he wants, but I want him to grant your husband great success and great favor.
Well, I believe this is going to be completely healed. Our doctor caught it early, and we're going to the surgeon next week. But they say that as early as it was caught, it hasn't gone through the colon.
Yes,
and
yes, ma'am.
He's going to have that robotic-type surgery.
Yeah, they're just going to remove the bad tissue and leave the good in place. That's a blessing from God right there that you caught it early.
Yes.
Wouldn't this be a whole lot tougher if it spread to other organs all over the body? Of course it would.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, I would not hesitate to give your husband good, delicious probiotics all day long.
Okay. Well, he'll have to start eating some more of them.
The other article that I read this morning, they were looking at colon cancer cells, and they were saying, how remarkable is it when you eat certain vegetables that you can start to reverse these cells? And guess what they were? They were all sulfur-bound vegetables. They were broccoli and cabbage and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts.
Oh, okay.
If you told me where you are today, you were gonna cook some cauliflower and broccoli, I would try to find a way to just show up to your front door at the right time, right when it's ready, and say, oh, isn't this unusual? I'm here right now, and you're about to serve this cauliflower and broccoli.
Well, I just bought a bag of those at the grocery store the other day when I was in there.
Oh, you are the best wife of all time. Way to go. You're just glorious.
I know he's going to be all right, because we've got people here in Palestine, praying for us all the way down to the Cleveland where we used to live.
Are you kidding me? This is the second call from Palestine this morning. What's the deal?
Well, you got a lot of people like to hear you over
here. That's great. Well, I'm so tickled that you called, and give all my love to your husband. I'm really rooting for him.
Okay, will do.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
Uh-huh, thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great day. Oh, thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Oh, boy. You might have to actually get on the internet and look up Essiac tea so you can order some and he can start drinking it. Always think, strike while the iron's hot. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hey, Dr. Morgan, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
Listen, I got a knee problem. Have arthritis in it, and I've had some stem cell injections about a year and a half ago.
How did those go?
They went good for about a month, but after that, right back to the same problem.
Have you ever tried taking collagen? Collagen?
No.
One of the lesser expensive forms that I like, it's called Great Lakes Collagen Hydrosylate.
Great Lakes.
I may be mispronouncing the second word. By the way, if you know me, I can mispronounce scientific words occasionally. Meaning daily. But it's called collagen or gelatin/collagen hydrosylate. But it's a company called Great Lakes, and it's a kosher product. That means it's clean according to biblical laws, and a Jewish rabbi has blessed it, which I don't know, but I would call it good. But I like that very, very much. And, of course, I ask people all the time, okay, your knee that's been giving you trouble forever.
Knees.
They're better now. Why do you think that is? And I would say probably 80% of the time, they'll look at me and they'll say, well, I'm taking the collagen you told me about, so I think that's it. And so that's not really scientific the way I said that, but it's just getting feedback from people. So you have nothing to lose by trying a collagen supplement.
Okay.
And collagen is the basic building block of the entire body. So if we talk about the knee, just in simplicity, it's made of, you've got bone. It's supposed to be covered, the end of the bone is supposed to be covered by cartilage, right?
Well, that's the funny part about it. I didn't find out until I had a knee problem that I was bow-legged. And the doctor, when he first looked at it, he thought, the one side's going to be bone on bone, but it wasn't. There was collagen. I mean, there was whatever that stuff is you're talking about, it was on both sides.
Yeah, exactly. And so all you do is you just start taking collagen, and collagen has a tremendous affinity toward holding more moisture and lubrication in the knees. And you might take it may give you some confidence. Now, I know what I'm going to say next is going to come across as fairly bizarre. But there was a study done recently, and they said, okay, if somebody has horrible arthritis to their knees and they're bow-legged, what do? They sit in a chair all day long to keep from putting stress on the knee joint, or are they better off of just kind of fighting through it and keeping, active and moving, even though it causes pain? Well, the results of the study are probably what you believe anyway. It's better to keep moving and going on your knees than sitting down and just resting them. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
What would it be like if you sat in a chair for 1 week and didn't get up? That would not go well, would it?
No.
So you can look at the company is called Great Lakes, and I think the label color that you're looking for, like if you look on Amazon or any other website, it's going to be kind of a green color, kind of a bright green, but I believe it's called Collagen Hydrosylate. And I have plenty of people, they take this stuff, they just stir it in their cup of coffee and drink it in the morning. Or if you were to make a smoothie or you want to just drink it in water. I don't think it tastes that bad. I think it tastes fine. There's really not much to it.
Okay.
But it mixes in water very, very easily. And your body's made of water, so this will help attract more water to your knees, and that'll be a blessing to you.
Well, I know when I take a shower in the morning, I run, hot water on them, and it does make them feel better.
Have you ever tried rubbing castor oil into your entire upper thigh, hamstring, knees, and lower legs after a shower?
No, never have.
Well, castor oil is pretty easy to come by. Would you agree?
Yes.
You probably thought I meant castrol, the motor oil they sell at the store, right? That's not what No, if you get castor bean oil, why don't you try that for the next 3 weeks, is just rubbing castor oil, massage it into your legs and knees. Do you know anything about massaging?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit? Okay, good. Then you're good to go then. Rub it into your knees after every time you get out of the shower.
Okay.
And tell me if your knees are in better shape. There's a type of an exercise called knee circles. Have you ever heard of those before?
No, I have not.
Very easy to do. You should look those up. You've got ankle circles, foot circles, knee circles, hip circles, arm circles. Just look up the circle exercises, and I think those can be very, very beneficial. The other thing that I want to tell you about, there are water-soluble vitamins, and those are everything like vitamin C and, you know, thiamine and riboflavin and folic acid and B12. Those are water-soluble. But the fat-soluble vitamins, they seem to have a tremendous impact when it comes to knee health, if you ask me. So, vitamin D3 and vitamin K2, they, along with cod liver oil, those are fat-soluble nutrients. They may prove to be very, very beneficial. And I can't explain the math on this, so I won't even try to get it right, but you know what coconut oil is, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I would say for a man that has bad knee pain, it would really be worth a shot. I mean, you've got nothing to lose. If you took somewhere between 3 and 4 tablespoons of coconut oil a day, just let me know in 2 weeks if your knees really feel significantly better. And I realize I've given you like 4 different things to think about, but if you try one of them, I think you're going to be pleased with the castor oil on your legs.
Okay.
Now, if your wife is listening, just tell her to rub the castor oil all over your legs so you can sit back and relax.
Well, she's listening.
Well, I mean, is she busy making you a fresh lemonade right now as we speak to serve it to you later?
No.
What kind of a woman is she? Is she going to fan you and feed you grapes later today in your recliner in the backyard?
I don't think so.
Great. This is not going well. I'm asking all the wrong questions. But if you tried those 4 things, let me know if you see a significant improvement that gives you a little bit of hope. Because are your knees pretty far gone as far as they've been hurting a long time?
Well, about 2 years.
Okay, so that, I mean, this is, you're going to have to stick with this program for about 2 months to see the results.
Okay.
But if you'll do these things, these 5 things, from the knee circles to the castor oil to vitamin K2, cod liver oil, vitamin D3, coconut oil, collagen, if you'll do those things, let me know if your knees are the best that they've been, that are more tolerable, because this is really the only set of knees you're ever going to get, right?
Yep.
You don't want to have knee replacement, do you?
No, in fact, that's what I was at a doctor's office Friday, and that's what he wanted to do, knee replacements, but he gave me a shot of hyaluronic acid.
Well, did that help?
No, that didn't do anything either.
Oh, rats, okay.
But he wanted to give me 3 of them.
Well, did they try the Synvisc, you know, from the rooster comb?
I doubt it.
Because that's collagen right there.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for something that tells you, you know, tells your body, okay, we like this.
Okay.
But try those things that I mentioned and just give me some feedback. I really appreciate it.
Okay, I'll do it.
Thanks. I hope your day goes really well, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. If I told you what I think, I'm going to say that I think the knees might be the most complex joint in all the body. I know you look at them and go, are you kidding? The knee is simple. Well, it's pretty complicated. Good morning and welcome to the program. Thanks for your call.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. Thank you for taking my call. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. You sound like you're really happy today. I love it.
Well, I'm feeling pretty good after some someone backed into me and I had whiplash.
Oh, no. Were you, like, stopped at an intersection and somebody didn't stop?
And I was in Walmart.
You mean, like, in the parking lot?
In the parking lot, looking over my left window to see how close I was to the line, see if I needed to straighten up. I had backed in my part, but anyway, I'm going to my local chiropractor, and I'm getting better.
But you were in your car at the time when another car hit yours, right?
Yes, sir. So
oh, well, I'm glad you're okay.
Yes, I thought that it hit the man's trailer hitch, hit my hitch step, and I didn't see any damage, so he just drove off, and then I got a shopping bag out of my trunk in my closet. A little paint fractured on my bumper.
Oh, dear. Well, how long did it take for you to start hurting?
Oh, over the course of a week, it got worse and worse and worse. But
it wasn't severe pain instantly when you...
No.
But it just kind of built up. Okay. But, well, I'm glad you're doing the right thing, getting that taken care of.
And I've used Arnica and horse liniment, but mainly I've changed pillows, and I took a yoga class.
Oh.
And felt the best the day after that, too.
Would you believe me if I told you people that have severe chronic pain, they usually do better with yoga than any medical treatment known to man? That's just great.
Well, all that breathing and slow stretching and flexing, and I've been needing to do that anyway, but changing the ETMC's Olympic Center hours in Chandler forced me to go to the one on 155, and it was really good. But I'm not calling about me because I'm on the mend. But
sorry about that.
My husband just, thank you. My husband and my back just, I just got a, woke up. My right arm was numb 2 days ago. I cried out to God, please help me, please help me. And I said, finally, my husband was waking up, and I said, would you please rub this in between my scapula, my right scapula,
yeah,
and press on the knot, and it got better.
Oh, good. See there? Crying out to God works.
It does. Well, my husband just had a blood test. We turned 65 last year, and checking everything out, and they call, at least he's going to have trigger finger surgery on Monday, so he's got to stop, well, he's been stopping his garlic and vitamin E and krill oil and those good things for a week, but they just called with the results. This was on a routine,
yes,
checkup to say that his cholesterol is high because it's 268.
I would give him iodine and zinc for the trigger finger.
Iodine and zinc.
Yes, ma'am.
He uses his hands so much all the time, installing window treatments, and I always tell him, just rest your hands every now and then and stretch them, where he can't really extend his fingers like I can because he uses them in the flexing position so much. But we do take zinc. But the iodine, how would you, are you talking about orally or topically?
Yes, ma'am, orally.
How much? What form?
Well, just, you'll have to get some iodine, just follow the manufacturer's recommendations, but I would imagine somewhere around 6 milligrams a day would help.
Okay. Well, the surgery has been scheduled for Monday, and I wasn't able to get in, but anyway, the cholesterol, I'm insistent, do not take Lipitor. We're not going to take Zocor, we're not going to do any of those statins, because we have met people that have been taken off of those, or that have had knee troubles and mental problems with after taking those for years, and they said, I took it for 30 years and I felt bad every day, and their doctor took them off of it and they feel better.
Yeah, that happens frequently. That's not the only time I've heard that. I think I've heard that twice in 30 years.
Twice only.
Maybe more like about 3,000 times.
Why do they insist on these statins?
Well, you know, we're living in an age where people, they don't want to discipline themselves. And what I was going to say is, let me get off that topic because that's not going to be popular.
Right.
The cholesterol is absolutely the most fabulous repair molecule in the universe.
I've heard about that.
Yeah, that's why God made it, is to repair your body.
And I've got all the blood tests in front of me, and everything else seems to be right in the median range of normal.
Well, do you see, there's a test on there called alkaline phosphatase. Sometimes it's called,
yes,
ALK. What is the number,
yes,
on that?
Alkaline phosphatase is 59.
See, I would say he has a zinc deficiency.
Okay.
And so I'm not trying to make anything a panacea this morning, so just take it all with a grain of salt, but your body requires zinc to keep your arteries in good working order. And so if the arteries tend to become a little bit inflamed, then your body's just going to do what it's supposed to do. It's going to use cholesterol to kind of patch and repair them, just kind of like if a highway crew comes down to, I should say, the county, you know, road crew, they're going to,
mm-hmm,
put some asphalt in a pothole, right? Or,
mm-hmm,
some,
mm-hmm,
oil sand.
Something ironic? Would you like to hear something ironic?
Yeah.
We saw a physician's assistant here locally for about, 20 years ago, only when we were ill, because the insurance policies didn't seem to be good for us. Everybody was getting sick when he was teaching, you know, and they were getting cancer on the group. And I said, I don't think we're the right group. And so we got out of the insurance group, and ever for 25 years, we would just go if we felt extremely, you know, respiratory illness or something. We're fine, and taking supplements and reading and learning and eating good diet, eating out of the garden. And he did a calcium scoring test a month ago, and his calcium scoring test was in his 30s.
That's great.
Better than that of the physician assistant that is attending him.
Oh, really?
He said, "Yours is better than mine," and he's younger.
Yeah, that's great, though.
But, you know, I've got to give, and I've got Dr. Sherry Rogers' book, The Hypertension Hoax.
Yes.
But there's so much involved, you know, with good nutrition. I just would, if there was one thing that I could say to stop any insistence about taking statins, what would that possibly be?
Well,
we don't have the VLDL on here, but the LDL is 182.
Well, I would say he's got something. His body's just attempting to repair something. He really is. And so if you interpret this as all cholesterol's bad, you're going to take statin drugs, and just that'll be the end of it.
But if
you interpret this is God's design in order to repair the body, then you look at it a whole different way. And let me just say it this way. We everybody knows that the more sugar that you eat, the more carbohydrates, the more inflammation you have. It's just the way it is. And the basic building block of all cholesterol is going to be sugar. So the more sugar you eat, there's what's called a delta inverse relationship. That means you're going to have a heck of a lot more cholesterol. So if your husband just eats greens and stuff from the garden and real food, like vegetables, and he eats meat, his cholesterol is probably going to drop because his body's going to be in much better repair in a short period of time.
Okay. We could avoid sugar, a little more
well,
sugar.
If he does that, but in simplicity, usually when you eat less inflammatory-producing foods, the cholesterol always goes down because it's not needed to make so many repairs.
Mm-hmm.
So I can tell you this. The HOPE study from Hawaii showed that men aged 75, which I realize your husband's not 75, so they lived longer when their cholesterol was higher.
Mm-hmm. HOPE study from Hawaii. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you know what his albumin levels are?
That would be, there's a hepatic function, there's the basic metabolic. Yeah, the albumin is, let's see.
Four point something, probably.
There were two pages. Here we go.
Albumin.
I know that I saw that. I was looking.
Oh, it's in there.
Testing sodium. Oh, albumin. Here it is. 4.9.
Oh, great. I was afraid of that. Most studies show when albumin's around 4.9, you have just tremendous, great, fabulous intelligence. Great. So he's smart, isn't he?
He's very smart.
You can't really compete with him, can you?
Well, in mechanical things, no way.
See,
don't bother explaining it to me.
Oh, you mean there's an other area that you might be able to supersede his intelligence? No, I think that's always comical. I've read before that when albumin's around 4.8, 4.9, you see tremendous intellect and...
Are you gonna
tell him I said that?
I'm never gonna be able to live with him the rest of the day. He's in the other room listening on the radio.
Oh no! He's probably coloring in a coloring book. He's not even paying attention to what we're talking about.
Don't bet on it.
They have shown that when people live a long time, or let me start over here, when they come across people that are doing exceptionally well, and they're going, why are these people doing so well? And they're older. One of the markers they've looked at is albumin, and that's absolutely the greatest transportation molecule of the entire body. And so,
really?
A person's fortunes rise or fall. As a matter of fact, if somebody goes to hospice, I know I'm going the exact polar opposite of your husband, but when someone's in hospice and they're doing poorly, they can tell how well they're going to do based on their cholesterol and their albumin levels. And
wow.
So when they start measuring total cholesterol, it's around 95 or 90, they know they're a goner. And when albumin drops real low, like into the twos and threes, they know that they passed the point of no return, and the body is no longer rejuvenating or healing or repairing. So, I mean, they can track, you know, how poorly, you know, how quickly their demise, how long will it take until they pass away by looking at those numbers.
Amazing. Well, the only other thing that seems to be out of the meat, out of the normals, is creatinine, which is 0.65.
Well, does he exercise?
He's always busy and moving but not exercising.
Okay, but you're going to find creatinine tends to drop off when a person doesn't get their blood moving enough. So he's got a fabulous possibility here that he can be improved, but he might need to have some type of scheduled, purposeful exercise, like a brisk 30-minute walk.
Yeah, well, he can't walk very much because of his bad knee. He had stem cell therapy on it.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go through all that. But you're going to find...
Well, he's like swimming. He loves swimming.
Okay, then we've got to find something to do because creatinine's going to drop off when you don't move your body enough. I know that's like
my... And does that work into the cholesterol?
Yes, it does.
Formula, too. Okay, that's
Let me say it this way. I read a study years ago, and they were looking at people that were very physically active, and they were comparing them to people that had probably... You know, they've had a physical malady or a stroke or something, and they were in a nursing home. And in the study, all they looked at was how much blood are they filtering through the kidneys. And so if somebody is real sedentary, those kidneys and liver, they may only filter about 200 gallons a day. But people that were real active, it may be upwards to like 1,500 to maybe 2,000 gallons a day. And, you know, you can only get the kidneys and liver to filter more debris from the blood if you're actually moving your body more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
His testosterone level is very low also.
Well, and that's, okay. You see how the story just keeps unfolding. And so we have to look at, what is his glucose level? Blood sugar.
Okay. That's 97.
And see, that's just too, it's just too up there. I know nobody else is going to worry about that, but I think it needs to be 89 or below. So he's consuming more sugar. He's developing insulin resistance. And see, do you remember what the triglycerides were?
I've got that all here.
If it's 50, I'm wrong.
It's 132.
Okay, well, the word tri refers to the number 3, right?
Right.
And so this basically, what a triglyceride is, it's the only stored form of fat in the human body. And triglycerides are basically 3 molecules of sugar that are bound together because your body says, hey, we can't burn this sugar off efficiently. We're going to store it away in the form of fat. And so if he's in the 130s, do you know what the HDL cholesterol is?
HDL is 60.
60, that's a good number right there. And so there's room for improvement, but he's probably... little bit too much sugar consumption, or his body is not very efficient at converting sugar into energy, which means he needs to become a little bit more athletic, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, so. I've been trying to get him to do more exercise. Bicycling he can do, and swimming, but with the knee, he's never been, you know, he's never liked impact sports, and he really can't run.
Well, we got bicycling then, right?
Right, bicycling, and I think that's...
Do you live in the country?
Swimming. Well, no.
Oh, okay.
No, but swimming he does love, and he needs to do that. And we just have to do that when the hours when we can do it. He's kind of been, well, we had to schedule the surgery scheduled for his hand, which he has to use to work. And we're not retiring probably for at least 5 or 10 more years.
Or 20.
Yeah, ever.
Yeah, that sounds like my plan right now.
Yeah, so he's trying to get all of our customers taken care of before he has the surgery, which will...
Oh, what a great guy.
And one of the customers we helped was a retired MD who was in the hospital. We just learned he's going into assisted living with his wife, and he's really up there, but God bless him. One of his daughters was helping us move to the assisted living, removing their draperies. Told us he was in the hospital around December. Starting in December, he got violently ill after going out to eat with a friend. he was in the hospital for 8 weeks, and they saved his life when finally they decided to do exploratory surgery and learned it was his appendix.
Oh.
Why did it take 8 weeks?
Well,
it just doesn't give you much faith in modern medicine when you hear something like
well,
that.
Well, but I'm glad we have modern medicine. But, yeah, you would like them to be a little bit more precise and hitting the nail on the head at the outset, not 6 to 8 weeks later.
No, but he is walking now.
Thank the good Lord.
Thank the Lord, yes. Anyway, so this, how much does the cholesterol, I mean the testosterone,
well, there's an inverse relationship. What happens is any time that insulin goes up, it tells your body start making more cholesterol. But when insulin goes up, it drives testosterone down. It's like a seesaw. At one end of the seesaw, we have testosterone. The other one, we've got insulin. And so what he's doing right now, his body's telling him, please make more cholesterol for us. And you know what? And testosterone's made out of cholesterol. But if you if you cause your cholesterol levels to go up, there's a hormone they should probably measure on him. It's called sex hormone binding globulin. And if that's off, I start thinking about zinc.
Okay, binding globulin.
Yes, but the main thing is you got to lower the carbohydrates. Here's the punchline. Lower the sugar, lower the carbohydrates, and I can tell you right now, you know what makes your husband a man? He's got more muscles than a woman. And he's going to have to find a way to start flexing those muscles and find out how strong he really is. And then may have to start by taking number two pencils from a kindergarten and seeing if he can snap those suckers in half. If he can do that, then he's going to say, I am a man. I can do this. But he needs to start exercising. And so whether it's lifting weight or calisthenics, maybe those knees aren't going to cooperate by running up and down the road. So what? We got a bicycle. But he can start doing push-ups, and he can do sit-ups, and he can do pull-ups, and he can do, you know, dumbbell curls and presses and probably 1,000 other things if he wants to. But if he didn't start using the muscles, we're not going to get the testosterone back up. You can take all the implants in the world and all the gels and all the injections. They're just momentary devices. We need to stimulate his body to heal and repair itself.
I've thought about that, about more exercise. It's scheduling is just, you know, it's,
What does he do for a living?
Well, we climbs up and down the ladder and installs draperies and paints pictures, and we sell custom treatments. And
oh, cool. I like it.
Do a lot. Yeah, it's just the needs.
Are you the one that has all the ads on the radio?
No.
Okay, just word of mouth, right?
No, I feel like a dental assistant hearing the drill all day long with earplugs in.
What kind of a drill does he use, like a cordless drill?
Yes, I
knew it. What brand does he use?
DeWalt.
I knew it. I knew he was a DeWalt man. Well, he's getting a lot of physical activity, but you have to identify what the area of weakness is, and so you're never going to have the testosterone.
So even if he takes testosterone hormone cream, it's not
going
to
Well, if you do that, you double your risk for a heart attack within the first 3 months. That's what the latest study shows.
Really?
Yeah, so we got to lower the insulin and the blood sugar. So if he started eating more vegetables, just make him salads for lunch. He's not going to question
you. We eat lots of vegetables.
Okay, we do.
But he's already outlived his father by 10 years.
Well, let's keep up those metrics.
Okay, and have them check sex hormone binding globulin.
Yeah, but if his testosterone's low, I mean, all we got to do is just start taking a little bit better care of the body. Less sugar, less sugar, less sugar. What if he started doing 100 push-ups every evening when he got home from work? That would help.
No.
I mean, with you sitting on his back. That's what I really meant.
I don't thought that would work. I can see that. But we will... take care of cut the sugar down, or cut the sugar out, because we use coconut oil. And
you got to have zinc to make testosterone. That's all there is.
Yeah. How much zinc would you
probably about 40 to 50 milligrams a day should get the job done.
40 to 50.
Yes, and we just officially ran out of time, so call me next week and we'll pick it right back up, all right? Thank you, man.
God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye. All right, if you'd like to join me next week, please do so. You're listening to KBGS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, Longview.